Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, five wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and Susan's latest book, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses at the Wise Woman University. But you can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine, and ho, 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 jolly, 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 and good cheer to all of us. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Susan. Welcome
back. How's your holiday season been?
It's been good. We decided about a week before the Christmas time that we were going to stay in Eugene and not go see our family in Montana and Idaho, so it was a good decision to not have to travel, and we got to do things on our own terms, which is nice, and not compromise all of the things that we do when we go see our family. So so here we are.
And so here you are, ho-ho-hoing away. I really enjoyed this holiday season. For some reason, it's brought me lots of opportunities to carol and to sing with people.
Oh, nice.
And that's been really wonderful. I've really enjoyed that, everybody. Not worrying at all about what they sound like. And in one of those sessions, a woman in her 80s played the piano for us.
Mm.
So that was a real treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, to see all the generations singing together and coming together at something that is not the kind of thing, you know, you think about, well, families come together when there's a death in the family. And families come together when there's a marriage, which in a way is a kind of death because it's going to be a very different life. So the holidays are more time, I think, just to be in joy. And to really, and of course, being an Aquarius, I love all the sparkling lights and wish that people could just be this way all year long.
I know I'm going
and,
to miss our
time. Yeah, thanks everybody for letting me have a week off. I did indeed go out to Arizona and spend some time with my friend Betsy out in the Sonoran Desert. And I talk about that in the e-zine last week, and there's some more Sonoran weed walk. This weekend, we're going to be making, I think, lemon marmalade for the coming week, so the first issue of January 2015. Here it comes.
So we did not have a guest tonight.
No,
so
we don't
we'll have
tonight. So what's going to happen is that this show is going to end at 9 o'clock. And maybe even a moment before 9 o'clock, because at 9 o'clock here at my house, I'm going to be receiving a call from someone else who has a blog talk show.
That's the Main Street Universe show?
No.
Oh,
That's
no, a different
not
show.
The Main Street Universe show is at 10 o'clock.
Oh, right.
And this is Patrick Battaglia. And let's see. It's pre-recorded, and we're going to pre-record tonight. And his website is freeradicalmedia.com. And we're going to be talking about the paradigm shift occurring in medicine and health. And I'm going to be doing that from 9 o'clock until 10 o'clock this evening. So I'm going to be pre-recording it. And then you can go to freeradicalmedia.com with Patrick Battaglia, B-A-T-T-A-G-L-I-A, and find out when that pre-recorded show is actually going to air.
And you'll be following that with Main Street Universe. Wow.
Exactly.
And then what will you be talking about on Main Street Universe tonight? Do you know?
Yes, actually. 2 weeks ago, I started what's going to turn into a lengthy series on Main Street Universe, which is very exciting for me. And it's from my class called The Trees of the 13 Moons.
Mm. And I heard the one on birch, and it was very interesting, and I would like to follow up with them. So,
good. So we're going to be probably speaking a little bit more about birch, and then we're going to move on to the next tree, which is the mountain ash, Louis, Beth.
Mm, sounds
Louis,
good.
And then neon, the ash tree itself. And the ash, the mountain ash is not actually an ash tree. It's actually related to rose hips.
Huh. Did not know that.
Yeah. So we're going to be moving forward with that on Main Street. Main Street Universe. And how do people get to that? That's another blog talk show, and that's broadcast live, right?
Yeah, it's broadcasted live. And what I've done is just you know, search for it in a Google search, said Main Street Universe Blog Talk Susan Weed. And
mm-hmm.
I think it might be blogtalkradio.com/Main Street Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Link for that. So.
All right.
All right. So we have about five people on the line, or it looks like, yeah, five people waiting for questions to be answered. So we'll open it up to the first caller.
All righty.
All right, in the 612 area code, the line is open for you to speak with Susan.
Green blessings. How are you tonight?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Just fine.
Good. I'm very excited to get to talk to you this evening.
Yes, tell
okay.
me what's up.
Well, I first wanted to run by, I have herbal infusions that I take, and I'm also nursing. And I just wanted to make sure that they were all good and fine.
All right.
Alfalfa, fenugreek, red clover, blessed thistle, nettles, dandelion, and oat straw.
And tell me how you're making the infusion.
Okay. I at night, put 1 cup of each herb in a mason jar, a quart-sized mason jar, and then I pour boiling water over it and seal it up and start drinking it the next morning after straining it.
So you just mentioned, I think, 6 herbs. So you line up 6 jars. You put 1 cup of each herb into each jar, fill them with boiling water.
No, I'm sorry.
Is
no,
that what
I
you
do? One each evening. So I'll do alfalfa and then fenugreek and then
okay.
Red clover.
Is this because it's impossible for you to own a scale?
No, I could have a scale.
It's 1 ounce. It's not a cup.
Okay.
I'm not sure where you got the idea that it was a cup.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me where you got that idea?
I don't know. I guess I just misunderstood.
Well, a cup certainly isn't 1 ounce, or even anything remotely like 1 ounce, so I'm not sure. Yeah, and each one of those herbs, for instance, a cup of dandelion root is going to be more like 4 ounces.
Okay.
And a cup of red clover might not even be 1 ounce.
Right.
And this is why it's not a volume measurement, it's a weight measurement.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah. So I don't like alfalfa. I don't drink alfalfa. I don't recommend that people drink alfalfa. But it's just my kind of personal picadillo about it.
Sure.
So that would be the only one that I would pick out of there and say, about.
Okay.
And then other than that, do you take rice?
Yeah, I eat rice.
Oh, you eat rice. Well, you drink nourishing herbal infusions. You don't take them any more than you take rice.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right. Taking them puts them in a category that makes them sound like they're drugs.
Right. Yep.
And they're not, are they? They're food.
Right.
You don't take garlic. Unless you turn it into something that looks like a drug, which is a capsule, and then you take it.
All right.
So we drink nourishing herbal infusions, and many women tell me that nourishing herbal infusions are the first thing that their babies drink.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that they love them.
Yeah,
and that many babies for several years drink nothing other than breast milk and nourishing herbal infusions.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally will do that.
Yeah. So let your baby in on the goodies.
Yeah.
And so long as we're working with nourishing herbs that aren't stimulating or sedating or potentially poisonous, then we're fine.
Excellent.
Good. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right. Green blessings.
Thanks.
Good night.
That actually kind of raises a question for me because I started feeding my son. I just opened him up to some foods, egg yolk, and I did give him a little bit of liver. And you recommend the nourishing herbal infusions exclusively at first to start with, or do you recommend any other foods to start feeding at the beginning?
Well, actually, what I think is that the child is my guide.
Mm-hmm.
The child is going to be with me when I'm going to be eating, let's call it adult food.
Mm-hmm.
And the child is going to want to mess around with that food.
Mm-hmm.
And insofar as they can and insofar as they like it, then I think it's fine for them to have some of of it, certainly around the world, what's done is that adults chew some of the food and give the pre-masticated food to their baby. Now,
yeah,
of course,
that's why
I know that's
making
many people go, you know, because yes, there are bacteria in your mouth, and yes, they can be passed to your baby, but you're probably going to kiss your baby too. So, you know, I'm perhaps overly casual about it. And for those who don't want to be casual about it, there are little food mills that you can use. But to me, I see children having an innate fear of strange food.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems reasonable to me because there's a lot of things not to eat in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, beyond the five emotions that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross taught us, they've added a sixth emotion, which is disgust. And I see this really clearly in infants and babies who put something in their mouth that doesn't belong in their mouth, and you see them make the face of disgust and spit it out. So if left unchecked, children will eat a very narrow range of foods, which are fairly bland in taste. But if we are wisely parenting our children, then we will expose them during the first times of their eating and for several years thereafter to a huge variety of foods. Most of the children that I hang out with love kale and collards and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and beets and sweet potatoes and carrots and every vegetable imaginable because those things have been on their plates.
Okay. And do you recommend waiting a certain amount of time until the baby's, you know, like, because my baby's almost 5 months, but he's an exceptionally large baby and he has, you know, he's really, really interested in food and, you know,
well, that's
he wants
what I'm
to
saying.
Eat
every- I let the baby be my guide.
Okay. Because I've been reading this stuff with the, you know, like the intestinal wall is like there's openings in it for the breast milk and for the antibodies to go through, but that can also allow the food that they're eating to go through, and it can cause food allergies. And I don't know, I just got a little freaked out, like, am I going too quickly here, you know, or is this okay? Is he going to be okay?
Are you forcing your child to do something your child doesn't want to do?
No, not at all. He wants to eat more. He wants, like, everything that we have, so...
Then what is your baby's body telling you?
Okay, but he wants to eat, so, yeah.
Right.
Right, okay.
Not pouring sugar on it to get him to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, no, right.
It's this food that you're eating, and he wants to eat some.
Yeah,
and you're eating good food.
Nourishing food, yes, of course.
Good
and I've been giving him some of the infusions, too, and yeah.
Yeah.
So... I just was wondering what you thought. So,
in a culture in which we don't trust our bodies. And somehow I have learned to trust my body and to trust all bodies and to really believe that bodies are pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Bodies want to be here. They don't
mm-hmm.
want to get themselves hurt.
I know. I want to trust. And then, you know, it's like... You start reading stuff and you get, you know, caught up.
You get all up in your frontal lobes, and the frontal lobes say,
yeah.
Body, I have a body, I don't think so. Oh, my. Nasty thing they're there.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Okay.
It is our
all right,
embodiment.
Well, we can move on to the next caller here. So
right.
Thank you, Susan. All
you're
right.
Welcome, Rebecca.
In the 310, you're on the line with Susan.
Well, hello and ho, ho, ho.
Hi, hello.
Hi, this is Dawn Marie.
Hi.
Hi, it's been a while. I hope you're well and you enjoyed your holiday. It sounds like you did.
I have, yes.
Wonderful. Me too. I'm still a going down this exciting adventure are along known as menopause. It's amazing how many people think that that means that, oh, you've stopped menstruating. A lot of women even think that that's all that means is, oh, so you stopped menstruating. No, that's not what that means.
Any more than puberty means, oh, you have secondary sexual characteristics.
Right. It's just, I'm really surprised. I'm constantly amazed, and it's an ongoing adventure within and without going through it. And one person, one woman said to me, she's in her 50s, she said, well, how did you know that you were going to, I was like, oh, I knew. You were talking about knowing your body and being intuitive. And I think that all these years that I've been an herbalist and been very conscious of my health and not drugged myself through various things, my body or my mind, it just seems to me to be so elementary, so foundational. You know, I knew when I was pregnant with my daughter. I knew when I was menopausal. I knew it. There was no question.
Yes.
So there's something to be said about not drugging our way through our wonderful, beautiful, amazing life experiences as women, even if they're challenging, even maybe because they're challenging. As you said, the body is so intelligent. And if you really trust it, I think, and you don't just turn it over to something that you don't even understand, it will get you very far.
That's what it's said on the back of my first edition of Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way. It says your body knows more about menopause than your doctor does. And then when I revised it and came up with new Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, it says your body still knows more about menopause than your doctor does.
Hear, hear. I was just thinking that's so funny. I was just thinking that today as I was getting ready to make my call, I thought to myself, you know, there's no way you could ever convince me that any male doctor and even some female doctors are going to know more about my body than me. Women are going to know their bodies. If they listen, they will know their bodies. There's no way to educate that. It's experiential. And that's, I think, what you're saying. It's experiential.
Yes.
If you let it be that. And so, you know, in this wonderful adventure, two things. I don't want to take up everyone else's time. So two things. I have developed an interesting rash on my chest that is it's red going around the neckline, and there are also some little red bumps around it. I am not sure what it is. And my diagnostic skills are not as strong as my treatment skills. So that, I'm not sure. I know that it is a rash, but I don't know what it is.
And if you were to go to a specialist, what they would tell you is you have an irritation of your skin.
Right. They would mention inflammation, I'm sure. Right?
Dermatitis.
Red.
Dermatitis. Skin inflammation.
Yeah.
And diagnosing exactly what causes dermatitis, you know. Yeah, right. It can be anything from, you know, something in your laundry soap to something in your clothes to something you inhaled to nervousness to, I mean, the skin.
Yeah.
The skin is an organ, and it's the largest organ of the body. And there's a woman in her 80s. Who works in this area as a dermatologist. And I was a little horrified to hear her say, but I pass it along in good faith, that her favorite remedy for anything that's wrong with the skin is to set the person in a dilute solution of bleach.
Oh, my God.
See, you're as horrified as I am. It's like,
I'm horrified. I
do what? She says,
I know.
She says, it will kill almost anything that is making the skin irritated, she said. And diagnosis is so difficult. She said, so if they will, I just have them put like half a cup of bleach in a bathtub of water and sit in it for 15 minutes. And I thought, you know,
I'm scared.
It's not as, you know, it's probably not even as strong as going to a public swimming pool.
Oh, Probably not, which I avoid. I prefer, you once recommended for various types of bacteria, yarrow tincture, which I do use. I spray that in the morning and at night. I don't use soap. You are so right about soap.
Yeah, so are you spraying
like
the yarrow tincture on this dermatitis?
Pardon?
Are you spraying the yarrow tincture on this dermatitis?
I am.
On this rash?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Does it relieve it at all?
It does seem to relieve some of the itching. And the redness, it's not as red as it was. It seems to be the worst, like in the middle of the night, I'll wake up with it just like hot and itchy, you know, interestingly enough.
Right. So this is also the kind of condition that is both really wonderfully touched by homeopathy and drives one to homeopathy.
Because it's so mysterious.
Indeed. And so, you know, it's worse, and these are the kinds of questions homeopaths like to ask. Is it worse during the day or at night? Is it worse with hot or cold? And with this kind of thing, you can actually give them a reading like that, and they can find the specific homeopathic remedy that will antidote that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. And I do look at it like, good for my skin. Skin is the first line of defense. It's funny, we always think, oh, if I've got a sneeze or I've got a sore throat or I've got a skin condition, that's bad. We label that as bad in the scientific model. But in reality, it really is a symptom that your body is doing what it should do. It's stopping this from getting into organs like your liver, I suppose. Or it's keeping it from disabling.
You know, it's like any organism. There's a lot going on at any one time. And whatever is going to work the best for whatever is at hand. So I don't necessarily think that this dermatitis is caused by any kind of toxin.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't even like the word toxin anymore.
Yeah.
It's so heroic, isn't it?
So I don't think it's keeping anything out of your liver because all your blood flows through your liver.
Ah.
And certainly there is a connection between the liver and the skin. And herbalists often will say, well, anything that's going wrong with the skin, help the liver. Use dandelion, use burdock, use yellow dock.
Burdock.
Yeah.
On burdock, I'm afraid to say take after our conversation. I've been using burdock tincture in the morning. I've been ingesting it. And I do find that that is very helpful overall. That's one of the reasons why I was actually surprised that generally my skin condition had been very good for the last few months, but this sort of who knows? It could be any number of things. I would love to go down that rabbit hole and find out more and do more diagnostic. But as you've pointed out, too, the only challenge is, what did you once say, the doctor who diagnoses herself is the as a fool for a patient?
Is a fool. Thanks, so quote is something like, the doctor who diagnoses herself is not wise, and the doctor who has herself as a patient is a fool.
Yes, I think that was it, the doctor who has herself.
Something like that, and yet we all do it.
We all do it.
And we know that we do that. And what I think is very beautiful is that we are learning to turn also to each other and say, this is what I think is going on. What do you think?
This is good.
And get that second opinion or that third opinion or that other viewpoint, which can illuminate something that we're blind to.
The trick is the trusted opinion, going to fellow wise women, because you can get some very bad opinions or some very misinformed opinions. So it's fine.
You get right. Well, you need to know where they're coming from, don't you?
One of the reasons I call you on this.
Thank you. I'm very honored. I very, very much
now,
appreciate it.
One more quick question, because I'm getting the sense that dermatitis is, we're on the right track. And I do also have a painful spot, I wouldn't call it a lump, under my right breast. And it's, you know, kind of, it's sensitive, it's a bit store. I've read that generally breast cancer is not even painful. I don't want to be alarmist about it. I know that it can be normal, quote-unquote normal, to experience some of those things during the menopausal years. Any thoughts?
Is it sore all the time or only to touch?
It's sore only to touch and only sometimes.
And is it on your bra line?
It's on my bra line.
These things to me say that it's unlikely to be something that is life or health threatening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank goodness you're listening to your body so well, Susan, so you can help us with ours.
Yes. Well, you know, in Natural Health, Natural Healing, a book by Andrew Weil that I believe is out of print now, he keeps a health diary. And I must assume that he has printed this health diary with tongue-in-cheek because it is a stitch. We must assume that he wrote with tongue-in-cheek. And that, to me, the point of it is to say, don't pay so much attention or you will surely freak out.
Right, yes.
He wakes up and he says, woke up, passed gas twice, had a bowel movement. Right, you know, and you know, goes on with the you know, the kind of almost minute of obsessive detail about what's going on with the cost, you know, that you can just see the dread that could build in someone. So I like to remind myself and others that there is a normal variation.
Thank you, because that is another thing I thought today. I thought, you know, I want to enjoy my menopausal years. Therefore, I don't want to spend them chasing my skin issues around the table every day. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Because it will drive me, it literally could drive me crazy to do that.
Well,
we don't want that.
No.
It's fun to be here and be able to communicate.
Or as my mother used to say, you're driving me crazy, but it's faster than walking.
Yes. I would be sprinting to that finish line if I kept that up. So that is so perfect that you shared that, because that was exactly my thought of the day. You know, whatever it is we're going through, and I do want to make light of heavy situations after all. I mean, we need to relax a little, don't we?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, so it's okay. It's just your entire life that's changing. Don't worry.
That's why I'm going back to.
Well, don't worry, because you really can't stop it. And that's why I think it's good to remember back to puberty. Because for most of us, even though puberty was in one way or another somewhat upsetting, we made our way through it, and we made our way through it without believing that we needed to be drugged because we were going through a transition.
Absolutely. Transitions seem to be a very delicate time. You know, it can be a very scary time, but such an exciting time. Think about those are the years we often grow the most, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Why would we want to drug our way through that? No.
No.
It's the wise woman method. You know, the scientific heroic method says control it. Wise woman says go through it.
Enjoy it.
Try to control it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, party.
Okay, hey, hot flash party.
Good words into the new year. Let's have a wise woman party.
Okay, and happy new year to you too.
Happy new year, Susan. Green blessings. Thank you so much.
Good night, green blessings.
Good night.
Okay, we'll go down to the next caller in the 603 area code.
Hello.
Hello, Susan. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, it is my understanding that you believe it unhealthy and unwise to consume soaked and sprouted nuts, seeds, including alfalfa from your previous caller, and grains. And I'd like you to please explain why. I want to understand this.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The seed is the baby of the plant. And nothing wants to put its young out into the world unprotected. The first thing that a plant does to protect its baby is to put a nice, tough coat on it. And that's called a seed coat. The seed coat can be so hard that the gardener might have to use a file to file away some of the seed coat, as in morning glory seeds, in order to get the seeds to even sprout. Because those seeds are actually designed to pass through an animal's digestive tract to be acted on by acid before they can sprout. This makes it necessary for those primates who want to eat seeds to figure out how to use tools. Because especially in the case of nuts, there's a very hard seed coat that we have to crack and break open to get at the wonderful seed, the nut, that's inside there. And in the case of grain, whether it's wheat or rice or rye or barley, again, there's a very hard seed coat that we have to deal with, that we have to get around by grinding or by doing something to that seed coat. The seed coat's effectiveness ends when the seed sprouts. In order for the seed to sprout, the seed coat has to break open. And that means the seed can't be protected anymore by the seed coat. So what sprouting seeds do is they create carcinogenic enzymes. And those carcinogenic enzymes are, in fact, about 10,000 times more dangerous, according to a scientist at the University of California by the name of Dr. Ames, than virtually any chemicals made by people.
What is his name again, please?
A-M-E-S.
Ames.
I believe it's Dr. Bruce Ames at the University of California. Now, we don't have to believe him. We can use our own senses. We can go into a garden, or we can even take a pot, and we can plant some seeds in the pot or outside, and we can watch what eats the sprouting seed. We can look and see what animals, what birds, what insects, what slugs, what things eat the sprouting seed. And I have looked many, many, many times because I'm a gardener, and what I see is that nothing in nature will eat the sprouting seed. But as soon as that sprout starts to make true leaves, then the carcinogenic enzymes stop being made. And this is when the cutworms come. This is when the crows come. This is when the cabbage moths come. So when we look worldwide at cultures, we find that there are basically no cultures that eat sprouts. The only exception that we could possibly point to is in China, where mung beans are sprouted and eaten. But there are two things that you can tell me about eating mung beans if you've ever eaten them, especially in Chinese food. One, they are always cooked. And cooking, as we know, destroys enzymes. And two, they are not eaten, even cooked, until there are true leaves visible.
That's true. So, do I understand you correctly? Are you saying that it's okay if you soak them and let them go beyond the point of sprouting? Once they get your true leaves, then they are safe to eat.
Yes,
and
so
then
long
they're considered
as you can
green,
deal with the emotional consequences of taking a handful of seeds that would grow enough food for a village of people and eating it yourself.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I don't think I heard what you said.
Yeah, I'm saying that eating sprouts is disgustingly selfish. And if you want to find a way to do something disgustingly selfish, then I'm sure you can. But I would never eat sprouts because you take seeds that if you were to plant them and let them grow could feed an entire village of people, and you're going to eat it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. I just came back from a naturopath today because I have suffered from gut issues my entire life. I mentioned to her that I have not been eating sprouts or anything raw to heal my gut. And she said, well, you need the enzymes. Please start eating sprouts,
she
including alfalfa. And I was horrified.
She is wrong. There are not any enzymes in any food that are active in the human body. She's wrong.
So if I want something to show her, I should research this
You should have her watch the raw versus cooked debate on YouTube.
Well, she is a follower of Weston A. Price and Nourishing Traditions and Sally Fallon and all that. But
nothing
she
at
also
all about
wants
enzymes.
To include
they say sprouts. Nothing about enzymes. And they certainly do not in any way believe in eating raw food.
And also she wants me to juice again.
No.
Yeah.
No, wrong doctor.
And this Dr. Bruce Ames, if I research, if I look online and see what he has researched, has he done anything on the raw juicing as well? Because I think my response to her was what I told her was I think the concern is about the possibility of bacteria getting into the system when you juice raw food. Is that one reason why the juicing is not a good
idea? I'd like to move slightly deeper into this conversation if you would allow it, and if not, just tell me so.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
What's
the
really going
on
here is that you have a gut issue.
Mm-hmm.
So are you eating yogurt?
I have been, but now I'm told that for 6 weeks I'm to go without it because she is suspecting that I cannot handle any dairy right now until my gut is healed.
So
I've been doing the fermented vegetables and
so she's not,
only
she's
allowing...
Not, she is not doing Weston Price. She's not.
Well, this is not this is just a temporary thing. I think she wants me to just do for 6 weeks, eliminate all dairy.
No.
The only dairy she wants me to have is ghee. So what is your opinion on because it doesn't have the lactose?
No. There's no lactose in yogurt.
There's no lactose left?
I should say
the milk protein?
Well, I'll tell you, in my experience of dealing with people with gut problems, once they go off dairy, their gut problems get four times worse, and it takes us a lot longer to get them well again.
Mm-hmm. I think what she was looking to do is take me off just for a month to 6 weeks only and then have me go back. I don't know. It's something about giving my system a break from it. I don't know. You don't follow that?
What I'm saying is you need to make a decision here. If you want to do what this woman wants you to do, that's absolutely fine with me. But you and
I value your opinion. I'm just trying to figure it out.
You and I should stop talking then, because as far as I'm concerned, everything she's saying is quite wrong.
Okay.
So I'm leaving it for you to decide if you'd like to hear, you know, and make
it. You were going to go deeper.
What you want to do. But I certainly cannot support anything that she's telling you to do.
Okay. When you said you wanted to go deeper with me, what did you mean?
By asking you actually about the gut problem.
Okay.
What kind of gut problem were we talking about?
Oh, my entire life I've been, I've had nausea, weakness, blood sugar problems, and it seems to be related to particular foods that, and so I've tried so many different things my whole life, and it seems like, you know, trying to eliminate certain foods for a while and then go back, and there always seem to be a problem with some foods like peanuts. I think it was the aflatoxin in there, with molds, with like eating brewer's yeast, or and then I've had done nutritional testing, where they test individual foods and see if your body can handle it at that time, and to try to find what the culprit is that is causing my gut dysbiosis. I've been
okay. So as far as I can tell from what you're saying, there's nothing at all wrong with your gut.
Well, I've been nauseous my entire life, and
it has nothing to do with your gut. That's an inner ear problem.
Okay, can you say more?
Yes.
Thank you.
Your inner ear is what creates your sense of balance and stability. And if there's a problem in the inner ear, we feel nauseated. What happens when I get on a boat? I throw up. How come? Because of something I've eaten? No, because my inner ear is going, throw up, throw up, throw up. You have a problem with your inner ear. It has nothing to do with your gut. If it had to do with your gut, it would have long since been found and dealt with. Looking in the wrong place here.
Mm-hmm.
What I beg you to do is to drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion every day to normalize your diet by eating a wide variety of simply prepared whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
Things like applesauce, yogurt, mashed potatoes, oatmeal with slippery elm cooked in it, brown rice, sweet potatoes, winter squash. Normalize your diet. Give up your idea that there's something wrong with your gut. Normalize your diet. And seek some help with what's going on with your inner ear, or take some anti-infective herbs, such as echinacea. Now, what I'm asking you to do, I completely understand, may not be something you want to do. Because I've worked with people before who've had things that have bothered them their entire lives. And when we do go deep, and when we do find where we can change this, a few of them have said honestly to me, no, I can't give it up. This is who I am. This defines me. My quest to solve this health problem is all there is to life. If I give this up and I'm healthy, what would I do with myself?
Actually, if I could interject, I've tried ignoring it and just eating everything that's out there, and I always have a...
I didn't say that.
I mean, everything that's out there that's healthy, I've eaten healthy my entire adult life, but I only found Weston A. Price way of eating 2 years ago, and I've been consuming the soups and the broths daily for 2 years.
And
only then did I make a little bit of progress. Have I made some
that's
progress?
That's what I'm saying. Now you have made some progress, and that's what I mean by normalize your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Not eat anything that's out there. Normalize your diet.
I mean, anything that's out there following Weston A. Price principles.
Which does not include sprouts.
Yeah,
Weston A. Price looked at what Aboriginal people were eating around the world, and none of them were eating sprouts. Now, sprouts might have wormed their way in to what's going on at the Wise Traditions Foundation. I don't know. I haven't been on the website recently. But I know they're certainly not part of what Weston A. Price himself talks about.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look at that Nourishing Traditions book again because I told her that I didn't think sprouts were included, and she said, yes, they are. And I haven't had time to check. I just got back from the appointment.
But there's not enzymes in them, and there are no enzymes that survive a bath in the hydrochloric acid of the stomach.
So then they're useless.
Completely useless. Do you juice
any fresh vegetables or fruit?
Why would you want to throw away the nutrition and drink the sugar? You said you have blood sugar problems.
Well, what about vegetables like celery or, I don't know, she just told me she thought
all
I
you are getting is the flavoring and coloring matter. You are getting no vitamins. You're getting no minerals. You are getting no fiber. You are getting no nourishment of any kind.
Yeah, that's why I've been cooking
Lightly steaming doesn't count.
Well, I've been making soup daily.
Soup. Cook. Hours. Cook.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we absorb the nutrients from the food, by cooking.
That's how we break them out from the food. You can't absorb something that's still in the cellular matrix.
Mm-hmm. And when you told the previous caller that you don't even include alfalfa in your diet, what was the specific reason to not include alfalfa? Can you share that with me? Because
I don't like alfalfa. I don't like the energy of alfalfa. I don't like the way alfalfa feels. Alfalfa is usually grown from seed that is coated in several layers of different chemicals. So I don't like that it's grown that way. And as a goat keeper, alfalfa is horrible for goats. I had a friend who had a herd of very beautiful, purebred goats, and wanting to be a loving caretaker, she bought them the most expensive hay there is, alfalfa hay, and they all died.
So what is unsafe for goats is unsafe for us?
I'm not saying that. You asked me why I don't like alfalfa.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you asked me?
Yeah, I did.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. So you have a personal aversion to it.
I have a strong personal aversion to alfalfa. I will also tell you that the Center for Disease Control says that more than half of all cases of food poisoning come from raw produce, and that of those, more than half of those are from alfalfa sprouts.
Right, and that's what I have read in the past. That's why I cut all that out of my
diet. 3,000 Americans a year die from food poisoning.
How many?
3,000 deaths a year from food poisoning.
Yeah.
And tens of thousands of others really sickened.
And that's bacterial food poisoning?
That's bacterial food poisoning, correct.
Yeah, bacterial.
So, to my mind, not worth messing around with. Not enough fun.
Not enough what?
Fun. So, again, I urge you to seek help with dealing with what's going on with your inner ear. It's what's been making you feel nauseated for all of these years.
It has nothing to do with what you're eating.
Okay, okay. And if I thank you for that. And one more thing, after being, if I please, May, I've been free of hot flashes, and then within the last year, they have returned. With the last couple months, I've been under a lot of stress from spring
That's
to October.
Flashes,
and then hot flashes,
and they go.
Up.
There'll be sets of them, and then you'll be not have them, and then they'll come back, and they'll be somewhat different than the hot flashes you had before, usually.
Oh, that's a normal thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, because I've been free of them. Like, I suffered through hot flashes for 10 years and not sleeping, and I had a very stressful year this year, and then they've returned, and they're still with me for a couple months. I'm having one right now, but you're saying that's normal.
Hang on.
Huh?
Do you hear how you are putting yourself in the role of the victim here? I had a stressful year, and therefore, let's just rephrase that so that we're brutally honest. I had a stressful year and didn't take care of myself.
Did the best I could, and I was trying to figure out why.
Did you drink nourishing herbal infusion?
Excuse me?
Did you drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion a day?
Yes, I do.
Good. So, this year that was stressful,
mm-hmm.
when you say that you did the best you could, I'm a little unclear because to me, my state has a lot to do with my choice. Things may be taking a turn for the worse, but that doesn't mean that I have to register that as stress.
Well, I hear you. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I've noticed that it's been very hard. I've been having to push my body more and more, and I've noticed that I've weakened tremendously during this year because I've been pushing, and I'm so fatigued, and now I've got the hot flashes back, and, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what I can do.
What would happen if you didn't push yourself?
I would go into debt because I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. I'm just noticing that I've been going downhill with my health, and I'm trying to help myself.
Well, I wish I was there to go through your bills with you and to look at them and to see where we could cut.
Oh.
Because it's not going to help you to pay your bills if you did.
Right. Okay. Got it. You got it.
That would be the next thing that I would do with you, is to say, you know, what are we paying on that we can not be paying on here? Where can we cut you some slack? Because it's very clear to me that you are pushing yourself too hard.
Yeah, I am.
And I think it's very clear to you, too. And I hear that you don't exactly see a way out, that you think that the only way out would be disaster. And usually there is a non-disaster exit.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be brave enough to see that disaster is on the way and to take steps before it happens.
Could you repeat that last statement? Brave enough to see that disaster
is on the way. You said that you were pushing yourself so hard that you were getting weaker and weaker. Disaster's on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to be involved in an accident in order to slow down? I hope not.
I actually had two accidents this year, and that's what made me weaker. I was rear-ended for one, and then there was another accident that involving an injury.
Yeah. So we often say that's a message from the universe to take some time off,
mm-hmm.
find a way to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy for any of us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's support for you in doing that.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Green blessings.
Green blessings, Susan. Thank
you. Okay, Susan, you have three or it looks like four callers now waiting.
Callers in half an hour. Okay, tick, 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 tick.
Okay, let me just make sure where we're at here. I think I just lost my... Okay, yeah, so one, two, three, four. Yeah, okay. In the 828 area code, you're on the line with Susan.
Hello, Susan. This is Maretta.
Hi, Maretta. How are you this week?
Oh, you know, it's... I had a lovely Christmas with...
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, with Divine. I have amazing grandchildren. And you know both my daughters.
I do, yes.
Yeah, so wonderful. I'm very blessed.
Truly.
Truly blessed, yes. And, I'm kind of trying to work this, my skin problem also on an emotional level.
Yes.
Let my skin be my skin, so to speak, and whatever I feel in my heart, don't leave my skin, be my skin, kind of a thing.
Okay.
I'm kind of doing that, and that is giving me a little bit of help. And then I have the violets and the oat straw and the burdock. Seem to have a very, I also do oats, soaking oats in water,
mm-hmm,
and drinking,
mm-hmm.
drinking that down. My skin on my entire body is extremely dry. So I'm trying to put whatever in it so I can undry, keep it as undry as possible, including a moisture, including a vaporizer in my house.
Uh-huh.
And I have noticed that when I do the violet has an incredibly cooling and calming effect on me. And
yes.
I actually went to an acupuncturist and who was pretty good. And he said, I am actually treating all your emotional points. And when I left there, I felt such a profound sense of peace. And here I am, I'm a Buddhist for 40 years. I meditate 3 times a week, together with a group. And I also meditate on my own. But I could see how those needles brought me that way down into a much more quiet, so peaceful place. And that was shocking to me.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I had that experience, it made me realize that there's a lot of, I lost a very good friend, all these things that what happens, and you go through a lot of pain, and, this life is an awesome, incredibly beautiful life, but it also has some very hard guilt to it.
Yes.
And to, to say the least. And, we had to get through, and I think maybe a few too many happened at the same time, and I had a hard time weathering it.
Gotcha.
And so I'm kind of working with that, and on an outer level, I have, I have peace in my life now. So whatever was disturbing then is no longer disturbing. But
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to put myself back into a place, and I think this is what this eczema was saying was almost like a grief that ended up in my chest, around my lungs or something that really shook me up on a very big level.
Yes.
And could have had quite a bit of sorrow to it too, And so I find that the violet really, and then I also the oat straw, is incredibly good for my whole sort of nervous system. So I think that all these nourishing herbal infusions are helping me in a way that I actually didn't even think I was had that kind of, was at that edgy nervous, because you know, everybody always looks at me and says, oh, you're so peaceful and everything about you is so peaceful and beautiful. But, you know, I wasn't at peace. And so I tried the clover honey and the manuka honey, but it was too irritating.
Yes. And good. I'm glad you stopped.
Yes, I stopped immediately.
Good.
And I just, all I'm doing is continuing these nourishing herbal infusions. And I tried nettle for some reason. I tried nettle leaf too.
Yeah.
But I think my skin liked better red clover and comfrey too, you know,
yes,
rather than nettle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense, doesn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's very, so I think that I can see how, like, I had 2 days and 2 nights of utter peace. I mean, I didn't even have to put aloe vera on. I didn't even have to spray on it. Everything was just totally, like, nothing was, you know, itchy or anything like that. And I was amazed that I could even get to 2 days of utter peace without even doing a thing. You know, it was over Christmas, so it was just... So, but nevertheless, I had to go back and start again. You know, then it got irritated again because I took very little care of it. You know, you remember you said every 10 minutes? Well, it was like more like every, you know, 5 hours or something. Yeah, and there was even 2 days where I didn't do anything, and I thought, why don't I just leave it alone? Maybe I'll just go. Some children have a way of making it disappear.
There you go.
You know, maybe you get the right song and the right melody, you get that going, and maybe it'll just disappear with it.
Yay!
It's like a song it's like a music that is a little out of sync here, you know.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it is what it is.
Right.
But it nevertheless, I have hopes for that this, you know, with continuing this, the skin is sort of very hard, you know, all over my chest. You know, I dry. You know, it's just sort of a dry sheet of skin, you know. Not at all. And I sort of feel like I would love to put something on it. Like.
So I'm going to need to say goodbye to you because there's several other people waiting, and
okay,
the show
yes.
ends at 9 tonight. But I do want to mention to you that very dry skin can be a symptom of diabetes.
Diabetes. No kidding.
And that you might want to think about, is that a possibility? And if so, what would you want to do? Would you, like, go to the drugstore and get a test to see, you know, if you're throwing sugar off into the urine? I think, you know, that you can do a home test for that. Because, again, you know, there might be something going on that perhaps not as direct as what you might be thinking.
I could go to my doctor and he can, you know, run some blood tests.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, but what I'm suggesting is that obviously the doctor is not going to run the tests. We have a system now in which rather than you getting information about your body, which would help you make an informed decision, you go to a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper writes a prescription for a test. You then take that prescription to another place where they then draw the blood, which could have easily been done in the doctor's office, thus inconveniencing you and causing 2 billing cycles to occur. And they then do the test and give the results back to the doctor as though it didn't belong to you. What I'm saying is this is part of what is deeply flawed about modern medicine, and that the less we buy into it, the better. There is an inexpensive over-the-counter test for sugar in your urine that you can get at a drugstore, I believe.
Okay.
in which you can get the information you need in your own hands.
Right.
Rather than it being owned by someone else.
Yeah. Well, you know, the skin on its own, the only place it's, you know, dry is where all the eczema is.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's not, you know, the rest of my body feels like, you know, good skin, you know, but it's where the eczema is.
Uh-huh.
It's very sort of dry and, you know.
So it's not all the skin on your body?
No. It's only where the...
Okay, because what you said is, what I've noticed is my skin is very dry.
Yeah, that it is, but not like that.
Okay.
You know,
and we must goodbye so that I can talk to the other people.
Yeah.
Okay, all bye-bye. Right. Green blessing.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. Where are they? In the 631 area code, the line is open for you to speak with Susan.
Green blessings, hello.
Hello, in the 631.
Perhaps we should try another one. Looks like they're not there.
Okay. In the 407 area code.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
I know you have a couple other people waiting, so I'll try to make this as quick as possible.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask if you have any experience with the plant Moringa oleifera, and if you would recommend using the dried leaves of that plant as an infusion.
I have... do not know what that plant is at all. Where does it grow?
It grows very widely in North Africa and the Middle East, and it's kind of one of those new fad health foods that's kind of been popping up. You can buy the powdered leaf to use as a supplement, which I know you don't really recommend taking powdered herbs at all, but the dried herbs are very high... or the dried leaves are very high in protein, and they have a lot of amino acids. They're used often in those parts of the world to supplement children's diets that are malnourished.
So if you use it, does that mean a child is not going to get it?
No, not necessarily.
Well, don't be so sure. What was the fad just before this was maca, yes? The turnip,
yes,
from Peru.
Right.
And there are strict government rules that maca cannot leave Peru except in processed form.
Mm.
And Chinese nationals have been going to Peru and taking maca at gunpoint.
Wow.
Is this what we want for our plants?
Oh, definitely not. But
well, it's my belief that this happens when we make celebrity out of a plant and then people who live elsewhere want it.
Well, just to clarify, I actually...
Is there some problem with nettle that you have to go to Africa to get an herb?
Like I was just saying, I actually grow it myself in Florida. I wouldn't be buying it from another country.
Oh, okay. Well, when I asked where it grew, you didn't tell me that.
Well, where it originates from.
I didn't ask where it originated. Did I?
No, you asked where it grew, and it does grow there, and it also grows in my backyard.
Aha. And does it have a strong smell?
No, it doesn't.
Then it would probably be fine as an infusion.
Okay. I had another quick question, if you don't mind. I've had kind of a low basal body temperature for the last couple of years, and I've been consuming a good amount of ginger tea or a ginger decoction, actually, and trying to just eat a lot of broths and soups and warming foods, but it doesn't, I haven't noticed any big changes, and I was wondering if there are any other particular herbs you would recommend to increase basal body temperature.
And why do you want to increase your basal body temperature?
Well, I feel cold a lot of the time. My hands and feet are always cold. And from the research I've done, I've read that it's not really normal for your body temperature to be 96.4 or 5 degrees, especially for
how much meat
one...
do you...
I'm sorry?
How much meat do you eat?
I eat meat every day, at least once a day.
Mm-hmm. And how much exercise do you get?
I don't do a whole lot of physical exercise. I'm on my feet all day during my job, and I'm pretty active. I like to be outside and hike and things like that, but I don't intentionally, like, run or go to the gym or anything.
And your thyroid has been checked?
Not recently. When I was a child, I had an overactive thyroid, and
mm-hmm.
I think the doctors recommended some things, but I don't think I never was on medication for it.
Mm-hmm.
You might
want to have a check on what's going on with your thyroid, because that can make you cold.
Okay.
It's one of the prime suspects when
mm-hmm.
People are feeling cold, and it can certainly change your basic body temperature.
Okay. Is there a specific test I should ask for?
I don't know enough about the tests to know.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Dream blessings. Good night.
Next caller in the 917 area code.
It could be me.
Okay.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
This is Ginger. I'm calling from New York. Let me just turn off the volume. Okay. I want to know if you have any information or with Garcinia.
The weight loss herb.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot about it, and they sell Garcinia indica on the Mountain Rose Herb website, so I'm wondering what you might know about that.
Well, in general, what we can say is that no food or herb has ever been shown to have a direct effect on weight loss.
And do you know anything
else about? We
know
very, very
about?
Clearly that people who lose weight and keep that weight off usually are engaged in a program like Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Which focuses on healthy eating
mm-hmm.
and good meals at regular times and a good amount of exercise. Mm-hmm. I personally know every successful person who has wanted to lose weight, who's engaged in that type of program, has indeed lost that weight and kept it off. The difficulty with taking a pill is that there's often a short-term loss and then a rebound. And in fact, what we found is that that loss followed by the regain of the weight is worse for your cardiovascular health than if you never lost the weight at all.
Right. Okay, yeah, I've stopped trying to lose the weight because of that exact reason. It's just become worse and more and more dangerous. And my daughter is yo-yoing back and forth. So if there was something that might support, you know, I know there's no magic bullet, I guess.
There's no magic bullet. What? Go out for a walk together every day, the two of you.
Yeah, she walks a lot. She takes care of children. She's on her feet and walking a lot. But she's binge eats and diets and binges and diets and binges. So, but yeah, I need to get out for a walk. That's the big thing for me is hermiting. So, staying inside.
Yes. Yes. Set yourself a goal. Could you walk a mile every day?
I'd have to work up to it at this point.
You'd be surprised at how little a mile is.
Yeah.
My personal goal is 3 miles a day.
Yeah, I used to walk 3 miles, even 8 miles, either on foot or my bike. I used to be very active.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've kind of gotten into a big rut and not wanting to leave, not wanting to just be outside. And so that I know for me, and I was hoping there was something that might support, you know, with my daughter, that's up to her.
It really
just
is.
That if there was something I could support her.
I would say drinking your nourishing herbal infusions, it can be a very big help.
All right. Yeah. She's willing to try that again to
Good.
Get that started. So.
Great.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. Green blessings.
Green blessings.
And we'll go to our last caller here in the 603 area code.
Hello, last caller of the evening.
Okay, a couple of quick questions. Have you ever heard of EAV testing, originally by Vole? And the other question is nutritional response testing, either one worth a salt?
I have not heard of either one of those, and that's partly because I don't involve myself with that kind of testing. I worked for a great many years in the industry, as it's called, the health food and supplement industry, and I saw that mostly the tests that were being created in modern medicine were tests for which the results would get you to take drugs. We're going to test your cholesterol. Here's your statin drug. We're going to test your blood pressure. Here's your blood pressure lowering drug. And the same thing went on in the health food industry as well, that tests were designed to sell supplements.
Okay, then. Well, I certainly thank you for your knowledge and your opinion on those. Thank you.
All righty. Green blessing.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right,
hey, Rebecca.
Susan. I'm here.
So we still have, what, 7 or 8 minutes?
Yeah, we do have a couple of email questions. I don't know if you'd – there's one
sure,
that's more – Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go for it. Hi, Susan. I have developed white, sometimes itchy spots on my upper back, neck, chest, and upper arms. I believe it to be due to tinea vesicular from research I have done. My brother was diagnosed with this when he was younger, and the recommended treatment was to put dandruff shampoo on the skin and let it sit for 15 minutes before rinsing. This seems like a simple enough solution, but I haven't tried it because I feel the spots may be an indicator of something else that is going on in my body, and I also would prefer to use plants instead of buying chemicals to put on my body. Thinking it may be linked to digestion or intestinal flora or even possibly yeast on the skin. I have tried apple cider vinegar, both internally and externally, probiotics, plantain oil externally, and eliminating sugar, fruit, and alcohol from my diet. I was guessing they may have been contributing, but nothing has cleared up the spots. I have read and heard conflicting information on tinea vesicularis, so I am not even sure if it is a fungus or yeast or something else. I'm not really a person who sweats easily, so I have been thinking to try a sauna maybe to open up my pores because I have read it may be accumulated toxins that are not able to sweat out. The spots are unsightly and sometimes itch and flake. They are white and round and look as if I have lost my pigment. They showed up this summer while I was living in a temperate rainforest working for a camp. The food was poor quality, and I did have digestive troubles the entire 3 months I was there, irregular bowel movements, and constipation. I assume eating cheap feedlot meat and dairy might have caused the spots. I am back to eating quality meat and dairy and veggies, as well as drinking nourishing herbal infusions. Any suggestions on how to get rid of the spots? Thank you.
It's certainly difficult to diagnose what's going on someone's skin, which is kind of where we started the evening. And there are people who are experts at this, and even with the person in front of them, have a very difficult time saying exactly what is going on. But I will give this my best guess, and please do understand that I'm not there, I'm not looking at you, and it is a guess. And I'm basing this on the fact that you said that you were in a humid tropical climate, and that I know hundreds and hundreds of people in such humid tropical climates who get fungal infections in their skin that are very hard to shake. It's part of the allure of the heroic tradition to believe that if there's a fungus on our skin, that it's there because we've done something wrong and that we can correct that wrong thing we've done and get rid of it. And as I said, this is a conceit. I do not find this to be true. I often say to someone, and if it was raining and you went outside without an umbrella, would you get wet? Yes. And I said, would that be irrespective of your diet? And they look at me and go, yes. And I said, well, yes. You're in a hot tropical climate. You are going to get fungal skin infections. And it has actually very little to do with your diet, although certainly having a healthier diet makes a healthier overall person, but there is not a direct cause and effect like you are looking for between that not-so-great diet and what's going on with your skin. It is a fungal infection. The primary antifungal herbs would include things like a infusion of horsetail applied topically, not drunk, but applied topically. Interestingly enough, horsetail infusion will kill funguses on roses too, especially the black spots that get on rose bushes. Many people like golden seal as an antifungal, which again, some golden seal powder could be stirred in water and then applied like a light paste to the area. Since you're pretty sure that you have that diagnosis, since you know what it would be, I'm not so sure that the dandruff shampoo is considered highly chemical, and it wouldn't necessarily be worse than herbs. If it's something that's going to kill a fungus, it's something that's going to kill a fungus. On the other hand, I don't know much about the dandruff shampoo. And so certainly you know what doesn't work, and you can try the horsetail, and you could try the golden seal, and if neither of those work, you still have the shampoo in reserve. Green blessings, and green blessings to you all. We'll be right back here next week at 7:30 with a blog talk show, Susan Weed, and my wonderful daughter, Justine Smythe, and Rebecca and her wonderful family. Thank you so much for being with us, all of you listeners. And thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
All right. Good night.
Good night.